Well, it is super good to be with all of you guys this morning. It really is. It's great to be in a room with guys that have gathered because we are interested in wrestling with what it looks like to engage the world in which we live in a manner that will actually make change and will actually affect gospel realities. And that is not an easy task. That is not a simple task. That does not come by simply waking up in the morning and entering into the world. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the world is changing around us, and it's changing fast, right? Now, some of us who have been working in some of the darker sides of the world know that the darkness has always been around. It's just been hidden a little bit more effectively than in recent days, right? So I wake up in the morning, and with a global media environment, I have had the opportunity, like you, to watch on a global scale all of the different tumultuous realities in which we live on this planet. And to a large extent, living in the country we live in, we have watched from a distance. And now we're not so much watching from a distance anymore, are we? Now in our very city, we are watching things occur that two decades ago would have been essentially unthinkable. Right, we're having to wrestle and grapple with the realities of terrorism on our doorstep, where it was a once in a while occasion in a large display. It is now becoming what many people on this planet have lived with most of their lives, an unpredictable any time around the corner moment, whether it's a bus or a club or a something. Right, and then it's grappling with who it really was and what people group they're from, and what that means about that people group, and all that. The articles start going back and forth, right? So we got that going on. That's super fun. And then in the meantime, while we've got that going on, all of these kinds of public displays of violence, it kind of seems to stir a bunch of other people. And so they think that's super fun. And so now we have people walking in and pulling triggers, and mass shootings and stuff like that are becoming so commonplace now that we're kind of starting to have to watch videos online. In a mass shooting, what might you do, right? I mean, could you have ever imagined that 20 years ago? So we got that going on. And then in the midst of that, as you've been able to watch in the news, the tensions and struggles and difficulties in that undercurrent that has existed around us every day, but again, we're pretty good at hiding that, in the ethnicities and race realities that we deal with. We stand together and we say, man, what you look like, what your accent is like, what your skin color is like, doesn't matter. And then we wake up in the morning and it seems to matter, doesn't it? It seems to matter a lot because it's all over the news and it's all over the Facebook and it's this one arguing about that and which one's on the right side and the wrong side. And we're struggling, guys. We're struggling with the realities of where we land. And if you support one group, then you, by definition, don't the other, and vice versa. We're not sure what to do with that. So you either remain silent or you say something and offend everybody, right? And so that's going on. And so we're not really sure what to do that. I'm reading the articles and I'm like, holy moly. And how do we grapple with these realities? And while all of that's going on, I look at the political environment. And, you know, my friend of mine found a bumper sticker that said Giant Meteorite 2016. And I'm looking for that bumper sticker because that's, you know, because you're like, how did we get here? And I don't really care where you fall politically. It's a weird space, is it not? I mean, we're looking at it and we're like, it's weird. It's just weird. I don't even know where to go with it. I don't even know what to do. I mean, things that 15, 20 years ago, a single statement would have ended somebody's political career. It seems like now we can say whatever the heck we want and not make any difference. And so that's weird to me. So I'm weirded out by the realities that I have to face when I wake up in the morning about the dangers I never imagined would be not on our shores, but in our cities. I'm weirded out by the realities of the dynamics playing out in the dailiness of the people around me. And then here's what begins to happen, right? You and I, we all feel it. This neat little thing called fear starts creeping its way into our mentality because, rightly so, there's much to be afraid of, is there not? I mean, are you not afraid of what the next 4 to 8 years are going to look like? Are you not afraid of what you might face as you walk out onto the streets in your city? Are you not afraid of what is going to happen when somebody comes at you? And so we all start shoring up. We all start manning up, gunning up, right? I mean, that starts, and then there's that fight. Oh, yeah, I forgot, that one's on the table too. Should you or shouldn't you? At some point, you just kind of wake up and go, what do I do? What do I do? I mean, here we are, we're men. We're trying to figure out how to love our wives if we're married and work hard, right? We're trying to figure out how to do a decent job raising our kids. We're trying to figure out how to leave some kind of a legacy for them in the future. And we haven't even begun to talk about philanthropy and world change and agents of the gospel. We're just talking about wake up in the morning, get through the day, be a decent husband, a hard worker, raise your kids well, and oh yes, navigate the political environment, make sure you don't say anything stupid to anyone because you never know who you're going to offend, and you might get shot, who knows? Right? I mean, it's a kind of a weird world we're living in. And so I've been grappling with what on earth we do with this. What do we do? How do we deal with this? And the truth is, in our environments, the church environments, we don't want to talk about this stuff. Because I'm bound to offend all of you at some point in the next 15 minutes, right? Because all of you are wondering, where is he going to land? What, is he going to land my side? Is he going to land the other side? I'm not really sure, because he just brought politics and violence and racism and everything else to the table. But here's the deal, boys. This is what's at our table. This is what we have to walk into. This is what we have to deal with. This is what we're called to in our generation. You guys had the opportunity, if you were here last month, to hear from a guy slightly taller than me and a lot wiser than me that looks similar to me because he's my dad. And he's lived quite a life. If you were here, you heard a bit of that life. And I realize when I'm looking at the world I'm looking at, and I'm looking at my 8 kids. Yes, I have 8 kids. For those of you that just figured that out, you're like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? My oldest is 18 and my youngest is 9. And they're all in that preteen and teen stage where I'm preparing them for the world I just told you about. And it's a little freaky to me because I'm like, how do I even begin to prepare them for this one? How do I begin to navigate them through how to handle this one? And then I thought about my dad. Because I'll tell you, my dad's world was just as insane as this one, if not worse. He grew up in South Africa, where during his tenure, everything I just told you was evident plus some. And he grew up in a world where he was in the military during those years. And I grew up in his home. And it dawned on me that the legacy in which I currently function today as a man, the confidence in which I live, the view I have of the world that is shaped by the gospel and shaped by eternity and not by the temporal realities in which I live, are largely shaped because I grew up in a home not of a man that was nervous every day, not of a man that was complaining every day about the world around him, not of a man that stared into the dangers and realities of the world and kept telling me, oh my gosh, be careful, it's terrible out there. I grew up in a home with a man that woke up every morning, went out into that world, did what needed to be done, worked hard to figure out what that was, and came home and told me and my mom and my sisters, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And here's why it's going to be okay. Because this world we live in, this planet we function on, it's not the end game. It's not the end story. It's not even the beginning of the story. It's a blip on a massive map of the story. But on this little blip that is so insignificant that the scriptures calls your life and mine a vapor, on this little blip, we get to play our part. We get to play our part. Our part written into the story by the author of the entire thing. Guys, the winds change. They change every day. They certainly change generation for generation. And welcome to our winds, right? These are ours. They're a little weird, but they're no weirder than some winds in the past, and they certainly will be no weirder than winds coming in the future. The issues on our table are no more complex than the ones in Rome, or the ones during the Greek Empire, or the ones during the South African insanity, or the ones during whatever history part you want to touch. They were different, some similar, but they weren't any more complex. And the ones 20, 30, 50, 100 years from now won't be any less complex than ours. When your kids and mine, if you have them, are us, and they have their own kids, they'll be facing their own set of insanities. And the question is, what will we have done to set them up not to live in fear, not to live in a space where they hide from the world, not to live in a space where they engage in the world in inappropriate manners, but where they become the agents of change to bring beauty to the kingdom of God, to bring glory to God Himself, and to bring life into places where there is death, and light into places where there is darkness, and freedom into places where there is bondage. Because that's what we do. What we do is we find out where it's dark. We find out where it's dead. We find out where it's bound, and we go there. And we take it on. Do you know why we take it on? Do you know why we take it on without fear? Do you know why we don't shore up? Do you know why we don't hide? Do you know why we don't become afraid? Do you know why we don't sit around and complain to each other about how terrible things have become? I'll tell you exactly why. Because we know the author of the story. I want to read you something. I want to read you something, and I just want you to listen. I'm not even going to tell you where it is, so you can't open your Bible and go there. I just want you to listen. Because when I look at the world I live in, and I look at my kids, and I look at what I'm trying to do to prepare them for their story and to live in the story we're living in now, there are places in the scriptures I go back to over and over again, and this is one of them. It's a bit of a read, so you're going to have to pay attention, but it's an awesome read, and I want you to listen to every stinking word, because every one of them counts. Every one of them counts. The people of God during this time in history had just come out of a massive space of being lorded over by some bad people, okay? And God had allowed it because His people had been insane, and so they were taken captive, and there was a punitive reality to that to begin to undo some of the mess in His people that brought about the redemptive change and the repentance that they needed. And this passage is a declaration through a prophet from God to say, I want you to go tell them. I want you to go tell them who I am, what I've done, and that it's going to be okay. And they were in rough waters, man. Rough waters. And this is God's answer to them about rough waters, about powers coming into play that we don't want in play, about violence that we don't want to be part of, about struggles among human beings that ought to be unified but are separated by insanities. They lived in the same space. Listen to this. You ready? Ascend a high mountain, you herald of good tidings. O Zion, with a clear, strong voice, make known to everyone the joy that belongs to God's chosen people. That's a cool start, isn't it? You're like, yeah, bring it on. I want to hear more. I mean, God's literally telling His prophet, I want you to go find the highest stinking mountain, and I want you to scream it from the top of the mountain. And this is what I want you to scream. O Jerusalem, you herald of good tidings, make the news ring out. Don't be afraid. Say to these cities, this Judah, behold your God. I love that. And then there's a period with an exclamation mark. So here it is. You ready? Good news. Good news. Good news. Behold your God. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, that's where this starts. We haven't even begun, but that's where it starts. So allow me to encourage you, okay? When you look around and this planet is going to hell in a handbag and you go, what do I do, man? Start here. Good news. Good news. And behold your God. Because when we forget that, then we're dead. But when we remember that, we will take on every horrid thing on this planet with confidence. We will bind together, and we will stand together for the singularity of bringing light, life, and freedom into hard places. Now listen. Oh, here it goes. You ready? He will take control without question or delay. He will see to it that wages are paid, repairs are made, and all is set right again. He will feed His fold like a shepherd.
He will gather together his lambs, the weak and the wobbly ones, into his arms. He will carry them close to his bosom and tenderly lead like a shepherd the mother of her lambs. Who has taken count and measured out the earth's waters with a single cupped palm of his hand? Who has done that? Yeah. And determined heaven's expanse with the outstretched part of a single hand? Who has counted out exactly how many grains of dirt are here on this earth and weighed the mountains and hills on scales? Who has directed the spirit of the Eternal One? Could you find anyone? Has anyone told God how to do it? Has anyone said to God, excuse me, I'm sorry, have you seen the planet lately? There's some trouble going on here. Could you, my recommendation is that we change some things. Who has done that? Who has done that? Listen. To whom did God turn for advice or instruction? Can I ask you that? Who does God run to? Who did he consult about what is right or wrong? Who directed him down the path of justice or imparted to him the knowledge that he now has? Or taught him the way of understanding? Who did this? Face it, the nations are nothing but a drop in a bucket, only a smidge on the scales by the reckoning of God. He can pick up entire islands as if they were grains of dirt. Even if we had all the resources of Lebanon, all the trees to burn for fuel, and all the animals for burnt offerings, how could we think that we have enough to give to God? All the countries of the world don't add up to anything in the eyes of God. They are less than nothing. They are empty wastelands. Now, he's not telling us this because he wants to tell us we are nothing. He's telling us this so that when we feel overpowered by what's going on in the world, he reminds us that there is nothing that overpowers him. If the entire planet united against God, it is nothing to him. Do you understand? And we're afraid because a few little things around us seem to be against us. And God goes, "What? I'm confused about your fear. Because behold, your God." Now watch. So, would you try to find someone to compare to him? Can you think of anything that has a likeness to God? An idol maybe? Hardly. They're made by human hands. Even if they're overlaid with gold, decorated with silver, and shaped by the world's best artisans, they are subject to tarnish and tearing and breaking. And those who cannot afford such extravagant offerings select a choice hardwood. And what happens to that? They seek a skilled artisan to fashion an image that will not totter or fall. Do you not know? Have you not heard or even been told from the earliest memories how the earth came to be? Who else could have done it except God, enthroned high above the earth? For such a vantage, people seem like grasshoppers to him. Who else but God could stretch out the skies as if they were a curtain, draw them tight, suspend them over our heads like a roof over a tent? God reduces, here we go, ready? God reduces the rulers and judges, the rich and powerful of the earth, to nothing. They scarcely are planted, take root and start growing before God blows a withering breath. The storm winds carry them off like chaff. Can I remind you that regardless of what happens in our country over the next year, regardless of who leads, regardless of the struggles of our violence and difficulty, we are reminded that all that will change. It will come and go like the wind. And our only question is not whether everything's going to go downhill. It's that while it is, what do we get to do about it? What do we get to do about it? How do we get to respond to it? What is our part in it? And we'll get there in a second. Listen, the Holy One asks, "Do you really think you can find someone or something to compare to me, to my equal? Think again. Why then do you, Jacob, inheritors of God's promises, you Israel, chosen of God, why do you say, 'My troubled path is hidden from the Eternal One. God has lost all interest in my cause. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Eternal, the Everlasting God, the Creator of the whole world, never gets tired or weary. Never. His wisdom is beyond understanding. God strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. Young people get tired. Strapped young men will stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, never faint. See, we are given this passage, Isaiah chapter 40, as a reminder that the strength we need as men to go out into the world we face is not going to come from us. It ain't going to come from you. You do not have the strength to face the world that is out there. You don't. You don't have the wisdom to do it. You don't have the clarity, nor do I. I have been meeting with some friends. I'm in the process of meeting with some friends to try to gain clarity on what on earth is going on around us. And I'm super confused. Really, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how we got here. I thought everything was okay. I'm an optimist. It's hard to be optimistic. And then I read that. I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember why I'm an optimist. Now I remember. I'm an optimist because I get to go in the midst of any set of circumstances. Behold. Behold our God. Amen. Behold our God. The author and finisher of all things. The author and finisher of my faith. And do you know what this God told me? Do you know what this God told you? After he rescued our souls and redeemed our future? Because he did that. He did that. He came in when we were damned to hell. We were damned to being chasers of the wind, right? Trying to fill our souls with a bunch of stuff that'll make us happy only to die. And he came and saved us from that insanity. And after he did that, this is what he said. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You can look it up anytime you want. Okay? This is what he said. For we, you and I who belong to God, we are God's workmanship. That's from the root word poema, which is the same root word for the word poem. We are God's poem to the world, you and me. We are God's workmanship. You ready for this? Created in Christ Jesus. There's our safety. There's our security. There's our future. There's our power. In Christ Jesus. For good works. Wait for it now. It gets better. Prepared in advance for you to do. Hey, boys and girls, listen up. Well, there's no girls here, so that's cool. Listen up to the extraordinary freedom in which I live, in which you live. You ready? This entire story unfolding around us, the one that's going to hell in a handbag? Good works were prepared in advance for you and I to do in this generation with this people. You are not here by accident. This is not happening by accident. God is not doing this. He doesn't have to. We have a crappy planet that does that for us. We have an enemy of God who works diligently, and we have us, the fleshly human beings, who sometimes go insane and do foolish things. And then we have the people that don't even know God, and they do insane things a lot. So we got a plenty reason to see everything go backwards, and yet God intervenes with us, in us, and through us. And he leads us into the world that he placed us in for the good works he prepared in advance for us to do. I am on this planet, in this time, during this season, in this country, with this group of men, on purpose. On purpose. And my kids are born into this generation on purpose. And they will face the winds they will face on purpose, because God has prepared for them in advance good works to be done. So here's what I get to do today, and here's what you get to do today. We don't walk into an unpredictable world, though it is unpredictable. We walk into a purposed life by an author who has purposed you to be in your world today, in your workplace today, in your home today, with your wife, if you have one, today, with your kids today. She may drive you crazy today. Your kids may go ballistic today. You might face circumstances at work today that are terrible. You might have a coworker stab you in the back today. You might gain a job today. You might lose a job today. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't know what's going to happen to me. That's the joy of walking into this day. But the beauty of this day is that whatever happens in this day, it changes nothing as far as you're concerned. Because you were purposed to complete the good works today that He prepared in advance for you to do today. So, here it is. Ready? Here's how my day rolls. And I pray that this little piece leaves you with some thought processing in your day. I am not an author of anything today, just so you know. No matter what I do, I ain't gonna do squat, right? Because anything I author, the scripture says, is like dirty rags anyways. It means nothing. So I am not an author. I am not a producer. Things may be produced as I strive and participate, but I don't really get to produce squat because what I do produce without God is like nothing. You know what I am? I am a discoverer, an adventurer. That's what I am. See, the author of all things has written for me a day, prepared in advance for me good works to be done. I walk into whatever horrid world might be mine, and I walk in with confidence knowing that in this horrid world there are things to be done, and He made me to do them, just like He made you to do them. Right. We'll do some different things today, but we were each made to do them. So I'm going to go stink and find them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find them. And if I happen to die while doing them, well, then I get to leave this planet of death and to live as Christ, but to die as gain, boys. So Amen. There is nothing to fear. I go in, I go find them, and that's my discovery. And you know what I do when I discover them? Because I will discover them. There's a plenty to do. The world is dying. I'm going to go discover them, and then I'm going to connect to whatever I need to connect to. And once I've connected, then I am going to respond and strive. Starbucks, great company. They made coffee famous, and they made it expensive, and they made you addicted to it, and so now I have a coffee shop that also makes money. So I'm grateful for Starbucks. No Starbucks, no Oxum coffee. And so Starbucks is awesome. And Starbucks came up with a little book, and in the little book they taught their people. When people walk into Starbucks, here's what you do. You discover, you connect, you respond. We use that a lot, right? We use that at Mosaic Church. Discover, connect, respond. And here's what I've realized. That's how I do life. That's how I do life. I go into my day today. I discover. God is author today. I wonder what it's going to be like. Is my wife going to be nice today or not so nice today? I don't know. Are my kids going to behave or not behave? I have no idea. Is another tragedy going to occur or not? I don't know. Is it going to get better or worse? I have no idea. Is a meteorite going to come before the election or not? I don't know. I don't know. I can be hopeful, but I don't know. Who's going to lead this country? God only knows. But it doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Because rulers, He breathes on them and they fade. He breathes on them and they fade. They come and go, boys and girls. They come and go. And while they come and they go, what do? We discover our day, same as we did yesterday, same as we'll do tomorrow. We connect to the things in our day that are for us, and we respond to them, and we do something about them. It is not a strategy that will leave a legacy for your kids. It is not a strategy that left a legacy for me through my dad. It's a life. Now, my dad's life was very strategic, as I hope mine is. But it is not the strategy that leaves the legacy, it is the life. My dad lived a life worth following because every day he got up and he went and made a difference in the world. And now I am waking up, discovering the day, and making a difference in the world. And my kids will wake up, discover the day, and make a difference in the world. I don't know how they'll do it. I don't know what job they'll have. I don't know what story will be theirs. But I know this. They will grow up in a home where I will wake up every morning confident, regardless of what the news says. Confident that the terrible things I face can be redeemed. Do you know why? Do you know why? Behold, my God. Behold, that's all I need to know. And my God has made me his workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared in advance for me to do. I'm going to go find them. I'm going to go connect to them. And I'm going to respond by getting them done. And then I'm going to leave this planet. And it will be better because I was here. Not because I'm anything special, nor are you. But because the God who loves me and you made me to make it better. He made you to make it better. So I beg of you, don't sit around and complain. Don't Facebook a bunch of stuff about this and that. Get up in the morning. Go find what you were made to do today. Go get it done. And we will change the world. And these terrible things, they'll get better. Not by making massive change, but by making daily change. If every one of us just does what is right and good and kind and helpful, because we serve a master who has taught us how. That's how we live. That's how we lead. That's how we are not afraid. Let's pray. God, thanks that in the midst of a world that's swirling again, in the midst of campaigns that are super weird, in the midst of violence that's super scary, in the midst of human insanity between ethnicities and races and history that we wish would just go away but seems to linger. In the midst of unpredictability, in the midst of guys and girls' locker rooms, in the midst of this planet on which we live, in the midst of marital tension, in the midst of kids who don't seem to know how to listen. God, would you shout from the mountains, behold, your God, so that we might find our confidence not in circumstance, that our confidence would not be found in a better leader politically or a moment of breakthrough in all the insanity of terrorism or a moment of breakthrough in all the insanity of racism or a moment of breakthrough in all the insanity of marriage and family. But that instead we would wake up every day believing again that we are ambassadors on this planet of redemption, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we have the power of the kingdom of God in us through you, Spirit of God, and that we can walk into darkness and into death and into bondage, and we can dare to voice what is good and right, and we can dare to do what is good and right, because you have made us for such a task. May we wake up each morning and know that we are to discover our day, not to author it. We are to connect to the things you've given us, not to produce them. And we are to respond and strive on your behalf, because we are not creator. You are. We are creature. And we are servants of the Most High God, children of the King. And we get to do what you've made us to do, to bring light and life and freedom to dark, dead, and bound places. Rise up in these men, Spirit of God, in their workplace today, in their homes today, in the violence and insanity of our world today, and use them mightily to be good men of good reputation, making good decisions, to be good ambassadors of your goodness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.